Okay, this coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Chukas, which begins, O Chukas HaTorah, this is the Chok of the Torah. Now, what does the Torah mean when it says that this is the Chok of the Torah? This is the Chok of Parah Aduma, perhaps, but not the entire Torah, so Moshe Feinstein Zatzal explained that just like when it comes to Parah Aduma, so it is in regard to the Torah. In other words, just like when it comes to Parah Aduma, one needs to display a sense of humility. After all, we use the Ezov, we depend on other people in the Torah process, etc., and also a sense of communal obligation. After all, the preparation of the ashes require the entire tzibur. It requires the dedication of the individual for the benefit of the people in each step. So too it is in regard to the lessons of the rest of the Torah. They also need humility and community dedication. Zos chukas ha-Torah. We're also told towards the end of this section, Zos HaTorah Adam Kiyamos Ba'ohel. This is the Torah when a person dies in the tent. Now the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Tzamach Gimel Amid Beis notes that in Divrei Torah Miskaimim Ela B'Misha Meimis Asmo Alayim, that the words of the Torah can't maintain themselves on a person unless he literally gives his life over for them. Now why isn't it enough to learn well without killing oneself over it? So the Rambam in Hilchos Tamas Torah explains that to really attain the crown of Torah you have to be fully dedicated to Torah. Meimis Asmo means you have to kill the physical aspect of yourself and let the spiritual aspect take over. The Maharal explains on this, noting the Torah is a spiritual entity while man is a physical entity. These are two opposing forces, and the only way to ensure that one's Torah study remains a permanent acquisition is to subdue the body's physical presence and body's physical pleasure and promotes one's own spirit as the driving force for the things that he or she does in his life. Now, the great Rav David Hofstadter, the founder of the Dirshu movement, adds that this is what it means, lehamis atzmo, Torah learning, to subdue one's physical nature. One needs to kill himself for Torah learning means that you have to subdue your physical nature. So again, Parah Aduma highlights the need for humility and communal dedication, and the death of a person, that is to say, to subdue oneself in order to be able to engage in the study of Torah. And we're told, he should take and put live waters into the utensil. Rav Meir Shapiro Zatzal, the great founder of the Daf Yomi movement, Rosh Hashiva of Chachmei Lublin, notes that B'nai Yisrael are compared to water. We have the power to crush rocks and level mountains when we flow, but that supposes that we're moving. Frozen water sits still. It lacks the ability to make any impact. It's got to be Mayim Chaim. Torah has to be a Mayim Chaim in our life. Not something that used to be, but something that's very much with us today. Yadlo, and of course, towards the middle of the parasha, we read about Moshe Rabbeinu's sin, where Moshe and Aaron were told, V'dibartem el ha'sela, and of course, it didn't happen. Instead, Moshe hit the rock, and Hashem says to him, Yadlo hamantembi, you didn't believe in me, talakti sheni. Why is this an issue of belief? And is it true Moshe Rabbeinu didn't believe? So the late great Rav Shaul Yisraeli Zatzal cited the Alter of Nevarik, who explained that Moshe Rabbeinu was interested in Kiddush Hashem, but he assumed Bnei Yisrael cannot accept a Kiddush Hashem in word, only in action. And that was Moshe's mistake. They were ready to hear and accept it, and they were ready to work based on that faith. And that's what it means. Lo hamantem bi lachti sheni leini Bnei Yisrael. You didn't have enough trust on my ability to impact. And of course, throughout the parasha, we find other episodes as well of the times where Bnei Yisrael were also hampered. And we're told, V'bitel nechasha nechoshes b'chayim. In one particular episode, Bnei Yisrael were running around and getting bitten by the copper snakes. And Hashem told them, Hashem told Moshe, tell Aaron and make a copper snake. And he told him to go ahead and make a copper sink. And if someone was going to be bitten by the snake, he should look onto the copper snake and he should live. Now, usually you need to interact with medicine if it's going to work. And why don't you need to interact over here? So Rav Shechter Shlita noted that the Zohar HaKadosh notes that by Moshe's looking into Eretz Yisrael, it was as if he fulfilled the mitzvah satelius of Aretz. And the Zohar HaKadosh compares that to our situation over here. Simply looking at the snake was enough interaction by the people in the same way that simply looking at Eretz Yisrael was as if Moshe went in and fulfilled the mitzvahs. Now, Rav Shechter noted that the people had learned this style of concentration from Moshe's own level of concentration, and they were being able to achieve great things as a result. We don't necessarily have that ability. So just thinking about doing a mitzvah and not getting out of bed in the morning to do it is not going to necessarily go ahead and give something for us to think about, something for us to contemplate in our lives. We've got to do mitzvahs. Az Yashi Yisrael, after a certain point in time, B'nai Yisrael get water, and they sing the song, Ali Be'er Enula. Now, why is it that this Shira, Moshe's name doesn't appear? It's not Moshe B'nai Yisrael, the same way it did at Shira Sayyam. So the late great Shemen HaTov, Rabbi Bernard Weinberger Zatzal, explained that when they left Mitzrayim, they didn't fully comprehend how to properly sing praise to Hashem. It was after 40 years that they were finally ready to go ahead and do so. We're told by Yishlach Yisrael Malachim al Sichon, B'nai Yisrael sent messengers to Sichon, and the Medrash explains that even though Moshe knew he wasn't going into the land, he didn't stop his job of leading B'nai Yisrael into the land. However, why is that a praise of Moshe? Wasn't he doing what Hashem expected? So the late great Reb Chaim Kamel, Zecher Tzadik Lebracha, one of the great products of Mir, later Rosh Hashiva and Ofakim, he explained that Moshe didn't need to calculate the plan. He immediately proceeded because he was so selfless that he only needed to consider the people. He didn't have to consider the impact on himself. Elsewhere, I saw that that's one of the greatnesses of a malach. A malach is a person who doesn't have his own desires, and it takes something to be able to achieve that status of malach in a human being, to have absolutely no connection, and still to be able to be so impactful. What a person, what a Moshe Rabbeinu. Finally, in the Haftar, we're going to read all about Yiftach HaGiladi. And, of course, we know that Yiftach HaGiladi, at the end of the Haftorah, experiences a sad end as his daughter becomes a korban. But what happened over here in the process? So there is a pasuk over here that where Yiftach makes a deal. He says, if you accept me as leader over you, then I'll come help you fight. And Chasam Silver comments that because Yiftach insisted on becoming the leader with the authority like a king, he erred in trying to be like a king. In other words, because he rushed and to insist on being accepted as the authority, it happened when he needed to be able to turn to another authority to nullify his nether, he wasn't going to be able to do so. Sometimes we have to look and realize that there are two sides to every single grab. Sometimes what we think is a great decision sometimes has negative impact, and that's where it really takes Chachamim to be able to guide us. And hopefully Be'ezus Hashem will take that guidance seriously, and it will help us get to where we want to be, to the period of Shabbat Shalom Uvorach, a Shabbat Shalom to all.